Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The radio show where the owls are not what they seem.
Do you or have you ever watched Twin Peaks?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
They could be dreaming and meeting each other in their dreams.
On Talk Radio.
There we go, dear listener. My New Walk by Jim Bob. Jim Bob joins us in the studio. Good evening, Jim.
Hello.
Mr. Bob. This is Ian Lee, the Late Night Alternative. Catherine Boyle is there.
Word.
You've got a very nice side parting today.
I've had my hair cut.
Oh, I didn't notice.
I know.
You noticed that I hadn't noticed.
Yeah.
Well, that's
it's all noted in my book of grievances.
A lot of noticing and notings going on there. Jim Bob, we've got to do the shorthand. We've got to do the shorthand if we're going to sell this goddamn book of yours. So, Jim Bob, formerly of Carter USM.
Correct.
That's done. I feel bad because there's a whole, like, the majority of your new book is about your surname being of Carter. No, from Carter.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is one reference to Jim Bob of Carter in there.
Which, yeah, yeah. It was on one of the posters there, because after Carter split up the first time, he used to do solo gigs, and the Carter logo would sometimes be considerably larger than my own name.
Oh, God.
And one time, and so I tried to illustrate this in the book at the beginning of the book by putting up this photo of this poster I had.
Yeah.
But what I didn't actually do was look at it, and it actually said Jim Bob of Carter, but it was too late because the book was called Jim Bob from Carter. So.
That's a strange way of phrasing it. Jim Bob formerly of, I'll buy. Jim Bob of Carter.
Of doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
It's like Game of Thrones or something, isn't it?
Game from Thrones.
Game from Thrones.
So the new book isn't out yet.
It's out in March.
I worried that we got you in too soon because it's like a month away at least.
Pre-sales these days, it's all about pre-sales, isn't it?
Is it? Is that the thing? This is what we need to get you up the Amazon pre-sale chart.
Yeah,
is to sell it. Is there right? Is Amazon the best place to get it, or
where it
from
depends.
You?
It depends, really.
Go on.
What kind of thing you want.
Tell us what the deal is.
If you want a signed copy,
the
best place to get it is from Carter USM store. Which is a website that we're involved with.
I didn't think there'd be an actual physical shop, Carter USM store, that you could walk in.
There did. Yeah, used to be.
Shut up.
At our peak of
was there
charts.
Where was that?
Kensington Market.
Okay.
Yeah, it was probably the least successful shop in
the
history of the
world.
What did
they sell? Like t-shirts and stuff.
T-shirts. Yeah, it was called Business AD. Business, and it was run by our t-shirt. It was this Glaswegian and this other guy, Big Al.
This is when Kensington Market was the place to go.
Yeah.
If you wanted the bootlegs, you wanted to get your live Beach Boys CDs, you go to Kensington Market. I believe if you wanted to get drugs, you could get them.
I have heard that.
There as well, yeah.
See, I lived out in the sticks, so if you wanted Carter stuff, you had to draw it on your satchel with, like, Tippex.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that going on.
It's like a lot of Tippex.
Ray is listening. Ray says, that's a great tune by Jim Bob. It's like a return to his old band, Jamie Wednesday.
Wow.
Is that an old band?
That is a very old band, yeah. That's whenever that was. I don't know. Split up in 1987.
Wow.
So that's, yeah.
This is the thing. I suspect that your fans are quite hardcore. I've just finished reading the most incredible book. And I'm going to read an extract from it later on because there's an amazing thing. It's Kenny Rogers. This is the book I chose to read. And after you, it was Eric Idle, then it was Kenny Rogers, okay? And he has two fans who've been to over 2,000 of his concerts. And I'm guessing you've probably got a few.
I think so.
Hardcore.
There are, but I don't notice them at gigs so much.
Right.
I think might be my eyesight's quite bad now. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I saw a documentary about Status Quo.
Oh, yeah.
A few years ago, and they had the same. They followed them on tour, and they had the same group of women at the front every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one was it from Status Quo?
Rossi.
We had Rossi on from Status Quo.
Yes, when
before Parfitt died.
Yeah.
But Parfitt had left the band.
Exactly. And so we asked him about it, thinking it might be dodgy. But he was like, "No, we're moving on."
Rossi didn't seem bothered that Parfitt had gone.
But didn't he come? Did he come back? Inevitably.
No, he died.
Oh, I see. Then, all right.
So he kind of left the band, and it felt like he'd been booted out.
Yeah.
For I'm guessing shenanigans. And then we said, it must be tricky, without him. You played together for so long without him. He went, no, it's fine. Don't really notice.
But they're a bit like that, aren't they?
They are a bit. I once went to a Status Quo concert, and the first 25 minutes was brilliant.
Yeah.
The last 25 minutes was also brilliant, but the 3 hours in between was...
Oh, my.
It was a slog.
I saw them in Germany.
Did you?
I think it's probably the best place to see them.
It feels appropriate.
The denim on display was astonishing. But they did, because they did their hits.
Yeah.
But then at the end, they did a medley of their hits, which I thought was really weird.
Wow. Like a little summary.
Bang for your buck. Just like I like a lot of old acts. I go and see old bands, the Beach Boys and the Monkees and what have you. And what a lot of these bands do, and the worst offender was Crosby, Stills and Nash. They were the worst offenders. Was they'd get like a 3 minute song, like Teach Your Children, but they'd make it 12 minutes by getting a big instrumental breakdown. Mm-hmm. And going,
they introduce members of the band.
Okay, I'm doing Graham Nash. Okay. I could probably do all of Crosby, Stills and Nash if I do it. That's Neil Young, but it was meant to be Stephen Stills. Anyway, so Graham Nash goes, okay, we want to introduce the band to you now. On drums, it's Rossi Davidson. And then the guy would do like a two-minute drum solo. And then he'd introduce the guitarist, who'd do like 3 minutes of just... And it just would go on and on and on.
I think that's just resting time, isn't it?
As
they get older, they'd sort of need that time out to just get the breath back.
Famously, in the 80s, David Crosby had written into his contract he was allowed to go off stage for resting time, and what resting time meant was sucking on a crack pipe.
Wow.
Yeah, he would go off stage and smoke crack while Stills and Nash carried on. That's actually a musical joke I've made there, because one of their songs was called Carry On.
Excellent, well done.
Thanks very much indeed. Right, hang on a second. Give me the title of this book, please.
It's called Jim Bob from Carter.
I can remember that.
And it has a little bit after it, which is In the Shadow of My Former Self. which I was told is a bit depressing.
It's a little bit like you're sat in the corner of a bedsit on the floor just looking at how your life has turned to shit, which it hasn't, though.
No.
It's a very funny book. You very kindly sent it to me. It's the first electronic book I've ever read on a computer, and I put it off for a long time because I was thinking, I don't know if I can do this, read a book on a computer. But I did it, and it only diminished the enjoyment, I would say, like 10%.
Imagine what that's like on paper.
You can feel it and flick it. It's a very funny book. So the first book was kind of the build-up to the pop success. You're a pop star. It's amazing. Do you ever think back and go, God, I was an actual pop star?
Yeah, sometimes.
It's weird, isn't it? It's a weird old world. So the first book is the build-up, and then
sounded terrible. I just brushed that off. Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, what about it? Are you ever a pop star? I don't think so. So the build-up... And then the success. And am I right, the first one ends when you both decide to call it a day?
Yeah.
And then that's it?
Yeah.
And this book picks up
from that day.
And I've got to be honest, guys. If you're in a fair to middling-sized pop group, as Carter were, the aftermath is pretty grim. The first bit of it is horrible. The whole, when you put your next band together... And you think, well, OK, well, we'll pick up where we left off with Carter and we'll play in decent-sized venues and we'll get a crowd. And you're, sometimes you're playing to, like, 14 people.
If we were lucky, yeah. That's the realisation. That was very sort of quick and brutal, that. You know, when the first... Not the first gig, but I think the second gig that we did was, there just wasn't anyone there.
And how does that...
This is weird.
That must be heartbreak. You must think, well, what? Hang on a minute, I'm still the same guy. What, yeah. I've just not got the other fella stood next to me. How does that feel?
It's all embarrassing more than anything else. I find that embarrassing. I still do now, you know, if there aren't enough people there, I'm embarrassed more than anything else. I want to run away or...
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And the remind me the name of the first band after Stereophonics.
Jim Super Stereo World.
That was it, Jim.
Don't
ever
say that again.
By the way, I have to say, because of your book, I was reminded of the band My Life Story.
Yes, yes.
Who I've forgotten that I'd loved them. I was a huge fan. We got Jake's coming on the show in a couple of weeks at some point. And the first band, it's you were kind of doing like stunts and. It was a performance,
as opposed to just
standing there with guitars and tapes and things.
It lacked a budget immensely,
right?
Because I had really sort of big ideas, of doing a big show, you know, big sort of like a clown show, almost like a circus show. But we didn't have any money, so it was very much going to Poundland and buying sort of, you know, balloons and stuff. And so it didn't really work. And then and it was so at odds with what I'd just done, you know, with the sort of political stuff and that. That it sort of, I think, confused some people.
And you had Toys R Us bubble machines and things.
Yeah, all that, yeah.
And they never work.
I still do that now, to be honest.
Really?
Those
bubble machines never work. I mean, we'll get them for the...
Get through a lot of them.
Yeah.
We do get through a lot of them.
0344 499 1000. If you want to speak to Jim Bob, you can. Here's the thing. You're cool if people just phone up just because they want to phone up anyway. We have a few listeners who don't actually listen to the show. They just call in to do their... Let me introduce you to one. Put your headphones on, please. And I'd like you to say hello to show regular Alan Caddick. Good evening, Alan.
How's the classical music?
How's the what?
Classical music.
Classical music is doing very well, thanks very much indeed. We played some classical music last week and...
See, I was listening.
OK, well, have you been listening to tonight's show?
Yes, I have.
Who have we got on?
Jim Bob from Carter USM.
Hey. Hello, Alan.
Your full name.
To give it its full title, Carter the Unstoppable Sex Machine.
Yes, mate. What can we do for you, Alan?
I've got a question for Jim Bob.
Oh, God.
Go ahead.
Who are your musical inspirations?
Oh, wow. Was that a laugh or a cough?
It was a semi-cough.
The worst.
Who are your musical... This is like being on Swap Shop now, isn't it?
It is, very much. I was instantly sent... No, I've never been on Swap Shop, but I imagine. I don't know. I'm going to say Elvis Costello.
Oh.
Big one.
Oh, yeah, you bang on a... Bang on.
Yeah, bang on.
Rude.
What a terrible criticism. You bang on about him in your book all the time.
Yeah, Elvis Costello, The Jam.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go on forever. Obviously, The Clash. Ian Dury.
Ian Dury. Are you a fan of Ian Dury, Alan?
Oh, he can hit me with his women's stick any day.
Okay. Well, even though he's passed away?
God rest him.
Thank you very much indeed, Alan. There we go. God rest him. God rest him. We'll take a little break. 0344 499 1000. I don't know how many books you're going to sell tonight, Jim, but you said you want. You emailed me. You're on. This is Talk Radio.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
0344 499 1000 is the phone number. Jim Bob is here. Now, listen, there are loads of places you can get the book. The best place, if you want a free bookmark... Is it free, the bookmark?
Yeah.
It's free bookmark.
And it's signed.
Signed, yeah.
That's the main selling point, of course, is if you go to CarterUSMStore.com. CarterUSMStore.com. I see a lot of people have been calling out an ex-radio presenter for doing the www.
Yes.
Does anyone... No one still does the www.
No, but I love it when people do.
Our favourite one, I may have told you this before, when we were on local radio, and a guy phoned up and he said, it was his old boy, and he was promoting some charity or something, I don't know what it was, and he said, can I give out the web address? And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? Okay. And he went, H... T T He did the whole thing.
It was that pace
it
as well.
That, oh. And we
it took
were,
about 10 minutes.
We had to turn our microphones on.
Also had the longest name in the world, didn't it?
Yeah. What was the JVS?
Oh, God.
The guy after us did a consumer show where people would phone in and say, oh, I bought these sandals and the strap came off after 6 months. Can I get any money back? Yeah. That kind of thing.
But then an old boy phoned up. Yeah, he said
he
joined a dating agency, but it wasn't what he thought it was going to be. And could he get his money back? And this all went on and everyone felt terribly sorry for him. And then they said, OK, so what's the name of this? Is it online? Yes, it's an online dating agency. OK, well, let's take some details then. What's the name of the site? And he said, yeah, it's localsluts.com.
And the women weren't what he expected.
I don't even want to know.
You cannot get Jim Bob's book from localsluts.com. But I don't know what you can get. I'm not going to Google it.
I've got a fair idea.
Okay. CarterUSMStore.com and get a signed copy, or you can get it from Amazon. Or our friends at Big Green Bookshop, who I've just found out have closed the physical store.
Online store now.
Simon,
yeah.
Unbelievable. That's so sad. Okay. So, the title is great. Jim Bob from Carter.
That's the only bit you need.
Jim Bob from Carter. Okay. Okay, good. Cherry Red have confused things by putting Cherry Red Books Presents Jim Bob from Carter on the cover of the book.
It's got a new cover now. It's got a better cover.
Has it?
I'm going to say. A lot better.
Do you get any say in the covers or do you kind of send it in?
Yeah, I've had too much say in this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that one you're talking about there was my... That was my fault.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Flipping heck, man. It's a very funny book. I loved it. I genuinely loved it. It's you... I think we have a lot of similarities. There's a few instances in there. Well, you mentioned, you talk about Elvis Costello being an inspiration. You go and, do you get something signed by him in the end?
Yeah.
And there's a horrible awkwardness.
Yeah, I've met him twice in my life. You know, I mean, I've got all of his records.
Yeah.
And that doesn't matter, you know. That's not, it doesn't mean he should
sort of
be nice to me or anything.
Yes, it does. I think it does. I think it means you should get a bit of respect. I met Al Jardine from the Beach Boys at an airport once. And he looked at me like I was a piece of dirt on his shoe. And I even called him Mr. Jardine. Who else is going to call him Mr. Jardine? And he was so rude to me. So Elvis Costello.
Yeah, it was the second time. Basically, I went to it. He did a reading thing, an interview at South Bank.
Yeah.
And I queued up with his book afterwards. His book was out, basically. So he was expecting to sign things, and I was quite near the back of the queue.
Right.
And I was incredibly nervous.
Yeah.
Thinking, I hope he recognises me. Knowing, of course, he's not going to recognise. Why would he recognise me?
Yeah.
And we had recorded one of his songs. You know, Carter recorded an Elvis Costello song. So he must... Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But to make it sort of... I had to get it to Jim Bob, because it kind of...
Yeah.
It makes it more sort of... It sort of amuses me.
Yeah.
Apart from anything else. But because I was sort of nervous, I mumbled.
Oh.
I mean, I'm a mumbler, so I mumbled. And he just gave me the look as if to say, you know...
Speak up, idiot.
Speak up. I haven't got time for this. Sort of, that's just gave me that look. You know, I mean, he might have just been wanted to go home or whatever, but I felt, you know... Did feel it sort of walked away sheepishly.
It's a dry old book as well. I don't know if you've managed to read it.
I've read it, yeah.
I had the audio.
Actually, I listened to the audio, yeah.
I had the audio book about 4 months it goes on for, just when you think it's going to...
It is quite long. I like the way he does impressions.
Yeah, he
does voices, doesn't he? So when he says, and then Paul McCartney says, and he'll do Paul McCartney, he does them quite well.
He does.
I did like that.
I like it. I liked it, but I felt it could have finished around Flowers in the Dirt, because when he starts going on about becoming... You know, learning how to play the piano, how to write music and stuff. You think, all right, mate, we get it. You can write music now.
That's,
like a
that's
grown
the
up.
Sort of. I'm not saying it's not a good book, and I don't want to diss Elvis Costello, but I've upset him enough already by not speaking clearly.
Maybe. What was the song you did? Maybe he didn't like it.
Peace in Our Time. We did.
Did he ever? Did you get any feedback from him?
No.
But we told you off for mumbling in the song.
At that point, I wouldn't have sort of. Been seeking it, you know.
Yeah.
So I probably would have thought, we're bigger than Elvis Costello.
But there's a couple
at that time.
Well, for about 20 minutes, you probably were bigger than Elvis Costello. Yeah. You know, realistically, there's a couple of instances. I can't. It was a while since I read it, so I can't remember the exact specifics. But where you are in the same room, like in the same bar or something, as someone famous that you've met.
Happens a lot.
And you kind of, and I get this. And I think, well, I've met them and they should know who I am. But I've had times where I've gone up to them and they think I'm just a fan. And I'm thinking, I'm one of your peers. You know, we're on the same level here. I mean, Jonathan Ross at the thing. I think we're on the same level here. You should recognise me. And so now I don't go up to people, that famous people that I've met, because you'll just get that, oh, it's so nice to meet. Would you like an autograph?
Well, often when you do, though, I don't know if it's the same for you, often you do, you're pleasantly surprised that they...
Never.
It turns out that they're bigger fans of you than you are of them.
Never.
No?
There's the lovely bit where your wife gets John Ronson to sign the book.
Yeah. See, I would never have done that. I would never have asked John Ronson. And I didn't know anything about that, you know, that... And she, again, I said, can you get it signed to Jackie? Was her aunt Jackie and Jim Bob? Because, again, it's funny.
Yeah.
A bit ruined by having her name on there as well, but there you go. It's ruined my Jim Bob collection of signed. And he said, oh, not the Jim Bob.
How cool
and then
that,
started man? Going on, started singing The Only Living Boy in Your Crosshair.
Did he?
Yeah.
We like John Ronson.
I was going to say, that sounds like John Ronson, doesn't it?
John Ronson is a friend of the show, guys, in just case anyone doesn't
know. We've been to his house.
Yeah, he invited us to his house when we were in New York. His apartment, I think we're supposed to...
it was pretty nice.
We're supposed to call it. Okay, let's put some headphones on. Let's see where this goes. I suspect someone's going to try and sell you some song lyrics here. Good evening, George. Rainbow George.
Good evening to you. All there.
Yes. Are you all there, though, tonight, George?
I am. This is all very synchronistic. And I don't know if my mind is playing tricks or not.
Quite possibly.
Jim Bob, did you do Glastonbury in the late 90s?
I've done it three times. So twice in the 2000s on the small stage, but in 1992. Three,
say
I'm going to say. We headline Glastonbury.
Yes! Mate! Yes mate! Come on!
Did you?
We did, yes.
And did Radio 4 do a piece about you at that Glastonbury?
Oh, I don't know. Radio 4? Possibly. Yeah. Very possibly.
I've got a feeling that I followed you on the tape, and I remember my last line was... When you've got to glow, you've got to glow.
Do you remember that, Jim Bob? Do you remember an old man saying, when you've got to glow, you've got to
weirdly
glow?
Weirdly familiar.
Okay, possibly. Possibly.
And Ian Dury was a friend of mine, and in his latter years when he moved to Hampstead. And I'm just wondering if there's all sorts of synchronicity. You did the Boogaloo Radio thing last week, Ian.
I did Boogaloo Radio, yes. Jim Bob didn't, yes.
And that reminded me of... I only ever have been to one gig at the Boogaloo Radio, and it was Mike Scott of the Water Boys was playing.
We'll be back with you in a second, Jim Bob. Sorry, George is just doing his thing. Yes?
He's just remembering.
Mike Scott of the Water Boys, yes. You saw the whole of the moon.
Yes, but that record, This Is the Sea. Yeah. Do you know the title?
No, I don't really like the Waterboys, if I'm honest. I don't know much about them.
I really want to tune you into the title track, This Is the Sea. I think it will lift your spirits, Ian, if you listen to that.
Maybe we'll play it a little bit later on.
Yeah, no, I was... You've been on my mind quite a lot this weekend.
Hey, thank you.
I'm just thinking that music is the one thing that can lift you up. So I was thinking...
I've been a little bit down recently. That's putting it mildly. And George is very kindly is suggesting songs to lift my spirit. Thank you, George. I found an amazing podcast, right? Because I'm bored of radio, I'm bored of music, I'm bored of everything, right? So I went onto one of these podcasts, cast boxes, where you get podcasts from, and just tried to find some random stuff. And I found a lot of rubbish. But I found an amazing podcast, and I'm going to get the name right. It's from WFMU, the station in America. And it's called The Honky Tonk Radio Girl with Becky. And it's this girl called Becky, and she goes out in the day, and over the week, and just buys... country and western records, doesn't listen to them, and then comes in and plays them for an hour. It's incredible, man. It's incredible, George. I was listening to that in bed the other night instead of the radio.
I don't know. I I'm just wondering if I could be Odd Job and sort of make a rainbow connection with Bob Job.
Bob Job? Who's Bob? Bob Job? What are you talking about now?
Where have I got the name wrong?
Both parts of the two-part name, yes.
I want to be Odd Job.
Okay,
you are George, in so many ways.
George, listen, I've got to move on, but thank you, brother. I appreciate that. We've got Bob Job here this evening, formerly of Ned's, and it's Jim Bob. That's George. He's a good spirit, but just, you know, don't take drugs, guys, is my thing. We'll have a quick break. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the independent republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Blasted rhetoric from the Banana Republic for people who think capital punishment isn't going nearly far enough.
Join me, the Reverend Mike Graham. Revolutionary, rebellious, rebuilt, rebranded.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the great dictator.
The independent republic of Mike Graham.
Tomorrow morning from 10.
On Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
And that's that. 03444991000. We've got Jim Bob for the next half an hour. Jim Bob from Carter is the book, In the Shadow of My Former Self. When did it start? I was going to start being fun, but I'm not. When did it stop being embarrassing after Carter split up? Was there a moment when you thought...
When we got back together again?
Oh, God, mate, no.
No, I'm exaggerating. There were moments, you know, there was sort of, it wasn't all like failure.
Yeah.
There were quite a lot of sort of successful moments.
I know what you mean about the embarrassment thing. Honestly, you've got to read this book because it's like I've written it, but about pop instead of...
Will you lend me your computer?
TV. Yeah, I will. Send it over. But I get the embarrassment. I've done... You know, when I did the flipping jungle, I did it because I was getting divorced. I needed the money. But there was a part of me thinking...
But you had an audience. At least you had an audience.
I had an audience. but yeah, you're right. You had an audience. It was 12 million. But the whole time I was flying over there, and for a lot of the time I was there, I was thinking, this is embarrassing. This is not what I wanted to be, you know, to be part of, you know, it's a great show, but it's a freak show, you know, it's a lot of people whose careers have kind of ended going, I'd like another 6 months, please, you know. So I get the embarrassment thing, but then how do you do pop concerts? You know, if you've got a band and you stood there playing and there are 15 people in the audience when you're used to 5,000, how does your brain get around that?
I don't know. It's because there was the trouble is with they weren't all these gigs weren't empty, you know.
No, there were successes, definitely.
But there were certain gigs where there would be, say, I did a gig. I can remember one particular gig in Worcester where there were about 12 people there, and it probably held 300 or something like that. But there was about six or seven blokes there came together, and they still maintain it's the best gig they've ever been to.
I bet they did.
But I wasn't thinking, you know, I wasn't sharing that emotion, so. They would just think, because it was like I was doing a private gig for them.
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't want to do a private gig for them. I wanted to do a gig for, you know, 12,000 people I didn't know.
Yeah. You want to bathe in the glory.
Yeah.
When, why did you carry on then?
I partially because I couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
I was still writing songs and I wanted to make records. So it was a question of then going on tour and trying to sell them in whatever way.
Let's have some chronology, let's get some facts to the fact fans. When did they split up? When did you first get back together again?
We formed in 87, split in 97.
Okay.
So it was like 10 years.
And that last tour was, you could see the numbers were kind of tailing off.
Yeah, we were rapidly on the way out by then. And then I sort of did Jim Super Stereo World. I can't say it.
Say Stereophonics. Come on, you know
I was
you
in
want
the Stereophonics
to.
For a short, short and embarrassing
you know
time.
Well, now I know why you're so offended. I meant Stereolab. Called it Stereolab, that would have been better.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes, wrong stereos. By the way, after 11, bands with stereo in the title, call us, please.
Stereo MCs.
Stereo MCs. This is going to be the best phone ever. Sorry.
So that was that. And then I started doing solo stuff. And yeah. Did various solo records. But there was a point when I started playing, when I was doing live shows, I would include Carter gigs, which I think is something that singers from more successful
Carter, so
bands
do. You put Carter songs in?
Yeah, and that helped in terms of bringing people in.
Yeah.
You know?
Was it when you started again after the split, was it that thing of, right, well, I'm Paul McCartney, when he left the Beatles, for like the first 3-4 years, just wouldn't play a Beatles song.
And now it's all he does. Yeah.
And now you go and see it's a Beatles karaoke night, you know.
Yeah. Same with me, actually. I do more Carter songs than...
Really?
Than non-Carter songs.
And does that disappoint you? Is that... You made peace with that?
I'm fine with it now. I've kind of... But when I started doing it, I sort of said, you know, I lied to myself and said, you know, that I wrote all the songs. Not on my own, but I wrote... Yeah. So what's the difference? They're just songs I wrote. But that's nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now I'm kind of lazy, and the Carter songs are in my... I don't need to practice them or anything.
So which one is your Hey Jude? Hey Jude. Which one gets them all singing along?
It's probably... singing along, it's all... Awesome, any Carter song, they were singing
they're
along
all
with all
catchy.
Them. But there is a non-Carter song called Touchy Feely, which is when the bubbles come out.
Right.
And that's very much a Hey Jude kind of situation.
And which one do you turn around to introduce the backing tapes? Ladies and gentlemen, now please, the backing tapes! you've got gigs coming... Well, you've got a gig coming up.
Yeah, I don't want to sort of spread myself too thinly.
is that one a year? Is that the ratio now?
Yeah, sometimes I do as many as six.
I mean,
a couple of years ago I did a proper tour, but... Yeah, I'm doing one gig on whenever that is.
March 23rd. Saturday, March 23rd at Shepherd's Bush Empire. That's... Tickets are still available.
Yeah, upstairs.
Special guests?
There's some surprises.
Okay.
The last time I did it a year ago, it was just me and Christy T. Mm. Don't know if you know Christy T.
Yeah, yeah.
Played piano on a few songs. But either that was just me and 2,000 people singing along for
Beautiful.
2 hours. But this time there's going to be a few more. We're going to make it different in a way that I can't reveal... Maybe they are. No, they're not. But maybe they are. No, they're not.
Say they are. Say they might be. Right?
You never
and
know,
you sell
do
the
you?
Rest of the tickets, man. And then you say, well, I didn't promise anything.
It's being coy. He's got Elvis Costello.
It's a bit of a dilemma when you have surprises.
Yeah.
Because you want them to be surprises.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
you also want to go.
You want to say, this is going to happen.
This is really good.
Buy some tickets. You don't want to miss this.
Trust me. And I love your description in the book. One of your team comes up with, is it the 5-year plan for reunions?
Yeah.
Go through that, because this is brilliant. And I'm a big fan of bands that get back together, and it makes perfect sense. With the first year, everyone's really excited.
I mean, he's our manager, Mark. He has a lot of theories, and he loves making sort of charts and stats, and that's what he does.
Yeah,
he had this sort of theory that a band getting back together, the first year, the tickets sell really quickly because they're back together. The second year, all the people who missed out in the first year don't want to miss out again, so they sell even quicker. The third year, people thinking, hang on, they're doing this, this is a regular thing now. So the tickets sell more stubbornly. The fourth year, people are thinking, I might not bother going this year because we can always go next year.
Right.
So you have to sort of change things,
you
know, or take a year off, which is what we, you know, we skipped a year.
Well, and then you went nuclear.
And then we went...
You did the nuclear option.
Yeah, which is to say this is the last one we'll ever do.
All right, Gene Simmons from Kiss, blimey. Flipping it. And you did. You went... Was there any... you and Fruit Bat. That's right, guys. Did you... I love saying it. Was there any kind of... when you made the decision to go nuclear and go, right, this is it, this is the last show we're ever doing, then we're out, was there a sense of regret or worry or nerves, or were you both relieved at that point?
There wasn't regret. I mean, it worked in terms of selling tickets.
Yeah.
The tickets went really quickly. And it wasn't the only reason for going nuclear. You know, we did sort of want to be free to do other things.
Yeah.
As proved by the fact that I didn't do anything afterwards.
How long ago was the nuclear option?
2014.
Oh, well, you've got... Well, we're 2019. Next year, you can get back together again. And no one
I mean,
care.
The thing is, because the offers to get back together were quicker and more inviting
right.
the second time around.
Yeah.
But so, you know... I mean, so it's nice to be asked, but, you know, you have to sort of consider them and then dismiss them, because until somebody makes a really ridiculous, you know.
But it's inevitable, isn't it? Someone will wave
I don't,
a silly
think we're
check
we're worth
in front
that
of you.
Much money yet, unless you do the kind of like the you know Bros sort of thing where. As far as I know, because they're doing, they play in Brixton Academy or something.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as I, someone told me the tickets were £106 each. Or something.
What?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but
come on, guys.
But
Bros.
That's you know that's the sort of cheaty way of doing it, isn't it?
Let's have a little look. I'm going to find out exactly how much they are, and I'm going to buy you a ticket for it. You're going to go. You're going to shake hands with Luke, and. Buy tickets. Let's find out.
I feel sorry for the Brossettes.
Be annoying if they aren't, and I've just got that wrong.
If they aren't, I'm going to just not say anything.
Okay.
And we'll move on.
Actually, it was Mark, my manager, that told me, and he does exaggerate.
Did you see? You must have seen the film. Did you see
the film? I did see the film, yeah.
I thought it was moving. How much did you say they were?
I'm sure he said 106 or something. 100.
They're £106.50. That's the stalls.
That's just normal tickets. Yeah,
that's the official website.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
Then there are resale tickets for seated for 180.
So that means they're making I can't remember that means they're making like £500,000
if they sell
for playing Brixton. But they will sell though, won't they?
Well,
especially now after that film.
Well, I suppose after that's insane. £106 for Bros.
Yeah, it's not right, is it?
I mean. I've got to be careful.
Fair play to them.
Fair play to them. That's it.
Oh, yeah,
that's it.
I mean, yeah, if you can, you know.
Fair play
but
to them.
But still.
If you can stitch your fans up, why not?
We'll have a quick break. Then we'll try a phone call, but I'm not quite sure where that's going to go. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. While the adverts are playing, go to CarterUSMStore.com. Click on Jim Bob. You can get the new book. Jim Bob from Carter. You can also get Goodnight Jim Bob as well. Will that one be signed as well, sir?
It will be. Yeah.
There you go. Go and get it from there, for goodness sakes. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Excuse me.
Oh, Dad.
Hello, I'm Martin Kellner.
And I'm his daughter, Ruthie.
We do a podcast. It's called Ruthie, Me and My Dad.
In which I tell him how he's wrong about most things.
And I explain to her who the Bee Gees were. It's on Acast and Apple Podcasts.
And all your favourite podcast providers.
It's a unique generation gap conversation between a baby boomer dad...
and his Generation Z daughter.
That's Ruthie, Me and My Dad. Brand new episodes every Thursday.
The wild man of late night radio.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We got Jim Bob, formerly of Carter USM. Listen, guys, dig deep because there's lots to get. There's a few tickets left for the show on March the 23rd. At Shepherd's Bush Empire, significantly cheaper than £106.50 a ticket, I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah.
And lots of surprises.
Lots of surprises that I can't tell you about.
There's also the new book, Jim Bob from Carter, which I've read and is a joy. It comes out in March, but get in there early. It's funny. This is the thing. I love all I read are autobiographies and biographies. I love it. And I've got to be honest, and maybe this is kind of my cruel thing. I like, my favourite part of pop stars' stories are when the bubble bursts a little bit. And I like the journey from the other side as they kind of come back and work out who they are and what they are. And this book covers that plenty. Oh, look, there's Paul Ross. You know, you aware of Paul Ross's work? Does he owe you money? No. Do you owe him money? No. That's probably why he's here.
Oh, no.
Quick, get me out the window. It's Ross. But that's my favourite part of... Because we all know, you know, the band gets together, they have success, and, you know, it's fun. But I like to know what happens afterwards when, you know, the wilderness years. My favourite part of the Beach Boys story is kind of after, you know, Smile, when it all went wrong. And then what they do for the next 4, 5, 6 years before they become a greatest hits machine. You know, and they're just floundering. They're making some of the best records they've ever made. Floundering. So there's that. And you can get, though, you can get the book at carterusmstore.com, or, you know, if you want to be lazy, go and get it from Amazon or wherever. But that's the place that helps the artist the most. And then you were just telling me about this, and this is stunning. If you go to cherryred.co.uk, Cherry Red Records, there's a huge box set, a Carter vinyl box set that's come out. Do you have any input?
We had, I mean, again, our manager did most of the work. He worked about 2 years on that.
Wow.
To get it sort of, I think it's every studio recording.
For the very first time, Carter's entire recorded output, all 128 songs of it, is gathered together in one place. I like this. That's all 7 glorious hit albums, plus 2 collections of singles, B-sides and cover versions, all pressed on coloured vinyl and packaged into a deluxe silver foiled box. 12-page book, unseen archive imagery, pictures, and album-by-album interviews with Jim Bob and Fruit Bat, and 2 exclusive art prints. Oh, look at that, man. That's stunning. That is stunning. When you... That's like a Beatles packaging. Do you know what I mean? That's like a Bob Dylan box set. When you see that put together, you must be proud of what
massively.
You've done.
Because when we were doing it, because I had to listen to the records when we were putting it together quite a few times, because they had been remastered. And and that was a slight chore at first. But then I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I liked more of the records than I sort of thought. But when we actually got the physical thing, I almost didn't want to because it was in shrink wrapped. I almost didn't want to open it because the box itself is black with silver lettering.
Yeah.
It just looked nice like that. But then opening it and sort of...
Smelling it.
Yeah, it smelled.
Yeah?
Yeah, everything about it was just...
Did they not send you 2?
I had... No.
Because... Go on.
What are you saying?
No, I'm just saying because there's... I know, you know, I've got a tiny little record label and I know, and we do small stuff compared to that, but I know that people will quite often buy 2 copies.
Yeah.
One to play.
And
one to keep sealed. It's a thing for me. I like opening stuff and feeling it and touching it and flicking through it and playing it. And, you know, I think records are meant to be listened to, but people will buy one to keep sealed.
That's the dream, isn't
it? It is the dream. I've got a 1970 sealed copy of the Monkees' last proper album, Changes, when it's just Mickey and David. It's a terrible album, but it's sealed. And whenever I one day on my deathbed, I'm going to get my keys. I'm going to slice it open. I'm going to suck down that 1970 bubblegum air and breathe it in deep.
I've got some sealed CDs from Japan, but do you know, I think Beach Boys actually.
Really?
Maybe I should find them and give them to you.
Yeah, please do, mate. I'll be gratefully received. Let's try this call. I don't know how far we're going to get. Good evening, Alex.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Alex.
Yeah, I don't really know what I want to say, really.
Okay. Well, should we let you go then?
Okay.
Thanks very much for your call. And that's the show, Jim, that you have chosen to come on to promote your book to people like
that. Sounds like a reader.
It does. It does sound like a reader. All right, so what is next? So you've got, obviously, you're going to sell the shizzle out of this book. But what's next? Because you do keep going. You've written, how many novels have you written? 2?
I've written four novels,
More coming?
I've written, technically I've written 6. but two have not been published. that's because I hate publishers.
Really?
Why? I didn't know that until.
What's wrong with publishers?
No, I don't mean that. Publish my new novel, which I would say was. I feel it's like, you know, maybe the best one I've done, but the time's not right.
How do you do it? I've tried writing a book and it's flipping hard, man. It's reading a book is easy. 80,000 words, I can read it in 2 days. One and a half if I push.
Boasting.
I'm not boasting, it's a fact, Catherine. I can read. All right, get me, get
what,
me
a
book.
A really hard book, a boring book.
Get me a book and I'll read it now. And I'll beat you. I'm reading. But it turns out that sitting down and writing is significantly harder than sitting down and reading. Who I would have thought. How do you motivate? Do you have like a little room that you go in and you say to your partner, right, I'm don't knock on the door until 5 o'clock. You go up there with a pot of tea. How do you do it?
No, I mean, I have got a room, but I don't really go in there anymore.
Oh,
I think when I first started out, when there were the first books, it was more. I think I was more excited about the whole sort of process, and so I was in there, you know, quite a lot, sort of. But with the recent ones, it was more of a, I felt like I had to do it kind of thing.
Right.
So it's more of a slog.
Yeah.
But I was writing sort of all over, you know, various different iPads and phone and
iPads.
Bits of paper and, not iPads, just one iPad. I've only got one.
It's got scattered around the house.
paper and pen, you say?
Yeah, but I can't read. My writing's so awful, I can never read that. So.
How long did this one take you to write then, the new one?
Because
it
probably took a year, I suppose, but with gaps in that year.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't actually take that long. It didn't take as long as a novel.
Okay. It's because you know all the stuff.
Oh, no, I kind of knew where the story was going. Yeah. I knew what comes next.
It's a funny book, man. I loved it. You get a little thanks at the end.
I know, that means a
thanks.
Lot. Yeah.
Unless you just snuck that into the PDF that he sent me, and then when the book comes
out, you
read it.
Because I don't think, and I'm not just saying this, doesn't it say it? I think it says in the book. It is true that because I hadn't, I think, I
listen,
don't think I'd,
to this. To
I'd
this.
Either just started it or was thinking about starting when I first came on this show.
Yeah,
and then because you said that the first book wasn't available, that sort of cherry red into redoing it, and then they had said, why didn't you do the second one?
You see,
and I thought so. I did. So I probably wouldn't have written it.
It's me.
If it wasn't for you,
I'm responsible for great art.
You don't need to write a book. You're just inspiring people.
I'm inspiring.
You're the muse.
One of Britain's greatest songwriters has been inspired to write a book based on. And do you notice how delicately I've not. The show gets a mention in the book as well. We get like a whole page mentioned in the book. I was so thrilled. And he sent me an email saying, here's the book. You're mentioned in it. Try not to jump to your part. Treat it like a novel. And I was so tempted to jump to my part. Of course I was. I'm in a book. But the show gets a very funny mention, and I'm not going to give any spoilers, but it is when we come in and do this show, the guest gets introduced to the person who was doing the show before, and you know, and it's a very funny bit in the book. And you were worried that you'd been mean. I don't think you've been mean at all.
Yeah, it was awkward more than mean.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a thing that's happened on a few occasions in my life.
We'll go to the news in a second. So I used to, 20 years ago, I used to TV program called The 11 O'Clock Show, and it was basically just slagging people off. You know, some of it was funny, but some of it was very mean, just slagging people off. And the number of times I've been like in a green room with a famous person, and I've had to go, I'm really sorry, but I think I may have said something rude about you. Richard Madeley, I worked with Richard Madeley a year ago.
You were worried about that one, weren't you?
I was terrified about it. We're so rude about him and his missus. I mean, awful. And I was working with him the next day, and I had to just say, Richard, I'm really sorry. Can I have a word? I've been building it up for years. I said some really mean things on this show about you and Judy, and he said, oh, no, okay, not a problem at all. Anyway, thanks very much. So, what do you think about this? And then he was off. And I built this thing up for years that he was going to...
But you know what the best thing I found? Because I've done that a lot, like mainly slagging off other bands, and then you meet them. The best thing is when it's the other way around and you meet them and you can see that they feel awful. You can see that you recognise that look and you don't mention it. And you know that they feel awful.
The book is very funny, man. Jim Bob from Carter. It's Carter USM store is the place to go. If you can't be bothered to support the artist directly and get a signed copy, then you get it in all the usual places. But, you know, this is how we like to roll. So lovely to see you, man. Same time next year? You're welcome anytime. I know I'm not Ian Collins and we're not going to talk politics. But anytime you want to come in and just hang out, you'd be very, very welcome.
It's nice to get out of the house.
Good. We'll take your calls as per usual. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.